make a team, and that was an enjoyable time together, and appreciate that, worshipping as a family. This week, as Pastor Dan spoke already, we are launching our series. So we all usually do this twice a year. We do it at the beginning of the year in February, and we do it as term three starts, the second half of the year starts. And we do that just because we want to give God an opportunity to speak into us as a whole church family. Most of the time, our growth groups just choose what's relevant for their group, what their group wants to study. But twice a year, this happens. So I want to encourage you to sign up to the growth groups. So you'll get the sermon then, but you'll have a chance to discuss that further in that lengthened time through the week. If you're able to do that, there are plenty of groups there. Some of them are full, but there's still plenty more. And so have a look at that if you're interested in exploring this series further over the next 6 weeks. If you just want to sign up for the 6 weeks, let your group leader know so we can get enough booklets out so that they can start this week. The series is basically called When God Calls. When God Calls. And it's about understanding how God goes about calling people. And hopefully, over the course of these 6 weeks, you will also either experience the call of God on your life or clarify the call of God that is being given to you already. Now, the Bible is full of stories about God getting the attention of people and then giving them an assignment or a task or to play a role. And what you will discover as you walk through this 6-week series is how different that is. God never chooses just one way. He uses many different ways to call people into his purpose, and we will look at that. The other thing that you'll learn is that everyone has a call. God has a purpose for every single person. Sometimes even people who are not Christians are called and used by God for certain things. And we read those stories in the Bible either as well. But what we do know is that in all of these stories, it's hardly ever the same. The call of God upon you is as unique as the calling itself is, what he wants you to do. Now, I want to start this morning with a story from the Old Testament, the story of Isaiah. I'm just here briefly today before we get into our main first call point. But I find this really interesting. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read this story of Isaiah's call. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man, and I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with an air of tongues, and he touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord ask, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. this is one of the most well-known and probably one of the most spectacular calls in the Bible. Many of us have heard this story. Many of us understand it. And for some of us, this story has been very meaningful to us. And it starts with Isaiah having an experience with God. Now, it's pretty spectacular and very rare. But if we have a look at it, we can see that what he experienced was just that presence of God in a pretty incredible way, to the point where he was overwhelmed by it. The closer we get to God, the more aware we are of who we are. And this was his experience. Even though I'm sure Isaiah was not a bad man, I'm sure he was a good man, but when he came into the presence of God, he immediately became aware of his shortcomings, and he thought he was going to die. Those who have been touched by God will be more able to discern the call of God. It's the grace of God that pours out into our heart that gives us the desire to serve Him. I choose this story to start today because it shows how differently the call of God can come. We often have a stereotypical view of what we think God's call looks like. We think of people like pastors and missionaries, those who dedicate their entire life to a certain thing, and we think they're the people that get called. And we've heard them speak of testimony where God either spoke to them, they heard God's voice, or He revealed this special message to them in the Bible, or some prophetic word or some miraculous circumstance that propelled them into this magical call of God. But I want us to understand today that God's call comes in many different ways, depending on what He wants us to do. God's call is so often unique. In other words, the way He calls you will be quite different from how He's called any other person ever. God calls into that space. Now with Isaiah, God didn't start by saying, "Isaiah, I'm going to get your attention here, pay attention now, watch it go and do this." He didn't start with that at all. God did not call Isaiah directly at first. Isaiah just overheard God. In his passion and in his encounter with God, he had a listening ear and he heard God's heart. He was exposed to God's heart. God had a mission. And you will notice if you pay attention that God actually wasn't calling Isaiah. He was just expressing his mission. And Isaiah picked up. And that's what I want us to do in this next 6 weeks series. We're looking at six very well-known characters in the Bible and how God called them and how the nature and the method of the call was very, very different. And I hope in that journey you can walk and recognize God's calling as well. Today I want to look first at the dreams God plants in our hearts. You see, as spectacular as Isaiah's call was, the essential thing to notice with Isaiah is that he saw the heart of God. He overheard God's mission. Who will go for us? Here I am. Send me. He volunteered. Because he saw the heart of God. Now most of us won't ever experience a call like Isaiah. But it does not mean we have no call. Because at the core of our calling is a heart for God. And if you have a heart for God, he will send you in a direction. And one of the truths that we need to discover about this calling that God plants into our hearts is that we need to be patient often with it. You see, over time, God creates the desire within us to do the very thing that he wants us to do. I love that about God. That he plants within us first a desire, then he plants a call. And we see this so often. There are a lot of examples. Let me refer to you to some in the Bible. The Apostle Peter, early on in his ministry, he was ministering the gospel to the Jewish people. Peter would never think of going to a non-Jewish person. He would never think of going to a Gentile. In his mind, he probably realized that the Gentiles weren't even included. And God gave him this vision, this dream. Nothing being unclean. Remember the animals being lowered. Just at that very hour, some Gentiles came to his door. God planted a seed in his heart and opened him for the next ministry. The Apostle Paul's another one. He was in Asia Minor and he's trying to go north, trying to go north in his mission, but he kept being stopped. And then he had this dream, and it never really occurred to him to cross over and go into Greece in that area. And God gave him a dream of a man calling for his help. He gave him a heart and passion, and he was very successful in that ministry. These were dreams and visions that God planted in the heart of his followers that changed the direction of their finding and helped them to see things differently. Now, some of us might be tempted to say that, you know, I've never heard God call me. Some of you might be saying that, you know, I've never heard God call me. Or you might be thinking, only certain people hear God's call, not me. For some of us, you might be thinking that it's too hard because God is so different. You can't see him. You can't touch him. He's otherworldly. And how can I ever know that that is God? Or just my imagination? And some of you may be even given up on trying to even understand God. Will and just live the best you can. And I would say to you, if that's you, if you're struggling with this whole idea of God's call, the first thing I would say to you is pay attention to what is already put in your heart. The quiet passions that are influencing your decisions may well have been put there in the first place. If you are walking with God, if you are desiring to do his will in your life, then it is very, very likely that he has already planted within you something of his direction and his will. Now, it might not be a spectacular vision, and if that's the only thing that we think a call is, then it's very rare. You might not ever experience that. It could be simple. Like, for example, what excites you? Why do some people get excited about some things and other people don't? What is it buried in you that drives you and makes you sit up and pay attention? Or it could be the opposite. It could be something that makes you really angry and you want to fix. You don't want to fix this. It could be something that God's planted in your heart, a dissatisfaction that you want to change because he has a purpose for you in that. Or a desire for the future that's inspired, a picture of the future that you can imagine that's inspired by God's will planted in you. And there are many stories of this. these in the Bible. The one I've chosen for this week is the story of the patriarch Joseph. We all know his story pretty well, but I want to read a section of Genesis 37. So if you've got your Bibles there, we're turning to Genesis 37. The words will come up on the screen in an NLT translation, but if you want to open up your Bible and just watch along, that would be good as well. And we'll be in Genesis for a little while, and that will be the topic of this week's study as well. Genesis 37, 1-11. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other children because Joseph had been brought to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he told them about it. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers. And his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? But all his brothers were jealous of Joseph. His father wondered what the dreams meant. Joseph had a dream, and that's how it all started for him. This dream. And the dream, I guess, in some ways, was born out of his mistreatment. God often does that. He plants a passion in us that comes out of our experience in early life. And he can use those experiences to plant a dream. For example, the Apostle Paul was very passionate and zealous in his early years. And God took hold of that passion and zeal and turned him into one of the most magnificent evangelists the Christian church has ever known. Samuel, growing up in the temple, got used to hearing God's voice and became one of the nation's most important prophets. Nehemiah had a lot of experience and training in the area of admin, and he became the exact right person for the Jews to go and organize the task of rebuilding Jerusalem. Joseph was mistreated by his older brothers, probably because he was a dobber. Everybody loves dobbers, right? And because he was favored. But he might have felt anger. Some of you have been bullied. You know what that is like. Some of you might have even been bullied by your own family. And you might know what he went through. He may have felt very lonely and isolated. Maybe he was just an annoyance to them. Joseph's heart was hurt by that, I imagine. And it's sometimes into that longing and that pain that God breathes a vision. So God gave Joseph this vision in the form of a dream that one day they would all bow low to him. Now for an aching heart that was bullied and unaccepted, it's a strong dream. Now, if you know the story of Joseph reasonably well, you know that eventually he became the prime minister of Egypt. And during the drought, when he administered the grain to those in need, his brothers did come. And as Prime Minister of the land, they bowed low to him. You should read the story. It's a really good read. There are a few things we notice about this calling in Joseph's life that helps us understand our calling too. The first thing, God planted the dream long before the fulfillment of it. We see that a lot in the Bible, where God takes a long time to actually put into reality the thing that he plants into you early. By the time Joseph's dream actually became a reality, he was much, much older. And this can lead to discouragement in people. You know, particularly these days, we live in a very instant world. Everything, we're so used to everything happening straight away. You know, I don't, you know, whack something in the microwave and press 3 minutes and I've got my dinner. We're instant communication. You know, we don't write letters anymore. We can just talk to each other instantly and get an instant response. Even education, on-demand education. I can go and sign up and I can do a course on demand and don't have to wait till the semester goes around or travel to a college or anything. Instant access to information. Yeah, just Google and you can get information. It's not always reliable information, but there's a lot of it. The buy now and pay later schemes that are very popular these days. You know, the idea of saving up for something and buying it just doesn't seem to be as common anymore because we live in this instant world. Our idea of a long-term contract is a 2-year mobile phone contract. There are very few places in this life where we have to wait patiently, where we have to push through something. This is why Christians can give up on serving the world, because they're discouraged, they don't see anything, they don't see results, they don't see the dreams fulfilled that they had when they were young. I wonder how many dreams are actually lost simply because our trust in God doesn't stand the test of time. We give up too long. Joseph went through a lot. He had to be patient. But God gave him a picture of the future that did become real. The second thing we notice about how God puts dreams in us is that this dream wasn't detailed. Do you get that? Like he got this vague picture that one day his family would bow down to him, but there were no details in that. It was pretty vague. So the dream served to plant a vision in him that gave him hope, that's all. It just gave him hope enough to look forward to that day. There were no details in it. Your family will bow down to you one day. That was all it was. He had no idea when. He had no idea where. He had no idea of the circumstances that would be. He had no idea of the path that he had to walk in order for that to become a reality. And God didn't even tell him why either. And the third thing you notice about this calling is that Joseph had to trust throughout his entire life. In other words, the call didn't make sense right away. He had to be patient. And as he experienced different things, this calling grew. And as you read through the circumstances of Joseph's life, there were a number of push and pull moments that were very stressful for him that led him to the next step of the journey that was really, really important. Things like being sold by his brothers into slavery actually had to happen for him to end up experiencing this vision. Falsely put in prison. And through all of these experiences of Joseph, God slowly began to reveal the bigger picture. The rough road was necessary in order to reach the vision, and Joseph had to trust God through it. I'm kind of glad that God doesn't show us the big picture right at the start. I think that if God showed us the big picture right at the start, we'd become afraid. We might even Joseph had to learn to trust, even as he is in prison, used by God to shape him and nurture him. I have lost a courage. The truth is that God's call on our life often does unfold slowly, and that we have to be patient. And this is the message of the story of Joseph. It all started with a dream. That's what got him moving in that direction. God's call comes to you differently. You will experience God's call in different ways. This series looks at six different ways God gets people's attention. And what I want to say to you today is that no matter your stage in life, whether you're young or whether you're at the other end of the journey, God calls. He guides, He leads. He has a purpose for you at every stage of your life. That calling purpose for you that he wants to make. Occasionally, it might be spectacular. You might feel God really leading. There might be some unusual circumstances that push you in a direction. But for most of us, it'll be a gradual thing. Gently, gently. And it'll make sense to you later. Perhaps like Joseph, some of you have been given a dream, something in your youth that's triggered by God that you keep in your heart. Experiences that God's given you that are shaping into something meaningful. Perhaps others are uncertain. You don't quite know what God is saying. Maybe you don't really understand this whole call thing. But make sure of this. Today, if you're not sure where you're at, where God wants you to be, why don't you start just by asking Him to give you a dream? Just ask Him, Lord, plant within my heart a dream that's going to lead me in your direction. Ask Him to plant. Give God permission to stop you if you're going in the wrong direction. Now that can be painful, but if you give God permission to do that, He can guide you there. Keep serving Him with a humble heart. Keep seeking His will for your future. You will experience His leading. And one day, perhaps you'll be able to look back and see the puzzle picture. It's full of fun. Oh, is that what God was doing? Oh, is that what God was doing? That's what I pray. That's what I wish for. That's what I pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you keep watch over us individually. That we are, each of us, important to you. And that we all have a part to play in your journey. I want to thank you for involving us like this. That we're part of your story. Lord, that we're not just objects of your love and salvation, but we are instruments of it as well. Thank you, Lord, for including us in such eternal matters and for making it clear. Help us, Lord, to widen our understanding of what it means to be called, and not to have a narrow view. Over the 6 weeks, Lord, help us to learn more and more about how you go about doing things. May we learn it personally. pray your blessing on each of our growth groups too, as they meet, for the leaders as they impart this, and for the groups as they discuss.